Hey, this morning, this evening, we'll be back to Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 3. But right now, a member of our assembly is getting ready to go home to the Lord, and that means his wife, Betsy, and family have to handle all of that. So we're going to spend time, and if you want to pray out loud, please do. But we're going to go into prayer for Betsy and for the family. Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we lift up Mike and Betsy, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that the grounding of their souls in your word through faith will comfort them and be with them through this time of passing. We just pray, Heavenly Father, for Betsy's words that she talks to her family, and that she may have the exact words to say to express her and Mike's faith and comfort in this moment, that those who might not be believers may be brought to Christ through this event in their lives. And Heavenly Father, best of all, pray for Betsy's comfort and peace through this evening.
Pray, Heavenly Father, that you come to Betsy at this time. We love someone. We know that Mike is going to go home with the Lord. But we'll be left behind. So our prayers are for Betsy, for his family. Father, I pray that we will be in prayer for Betsy, for whatever way we can, in prayer and in just being there with her. I pray, Heavenly Father, you give me wisdom. Speak right time for Mike as he's home with the Lord. Be with all of us, Heavenly Father. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, let's see, this is Wednesday, so we'll be in prayer for different things. Do we have any prayer requests? Any prayer requests for anything special for anyone? Here, we need to be in prayer for Molly at this time. How's she doing?
Doing better. She went to the doctor. I don't know if they haven't cleared her yet for flying or for traveling. But if she's cleared, then
she'll
come and visit us.
Okay, good. Very good. How long is she going to stay?
Probably just a couple of days. That's normally what she does.
Okay. Well, that'll be good. We'll be in prayer then she comes down. Do we have any other prayer requests? People have prayer requests for anything, anyone?
Yeah, I talked to Bobby this morning, and he's taking steps. But he can't get off the bed or get upright by himself. And until he can do that, he's kind of delayed in his progress because somebody's got to give him that little push. So he said to me, yeah, Pat, let's pray I can get strong enough to get myself at least sitting so then he can get his feet on.
Okay, that's how we need to pray then. Very good. Yeah. Gigi, did you have some prayer?
And Michelle Smith, a friend of mine, she's got thyroid problems plus. Thyroid problems, plus she's got some other problems.
Okay. Well, we'll be in prayer. And any other prayer request? Okay. All right, let's get ready for studying the Word of God. Pray. Heavenly Father, we consider it an honor and a privilege to study the Word of God, especially Hebrews. So much to learn about Jesus Christ. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight, bring us to reality of Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, I named tonight's message, When Christ Was Tempted. Now, I'm referring to just the night before the crucifixion, and He talks to God the Father, and about the Father giving Him the pass it over or let it go. And of course He prayed that it would not let it let go, because that's the payment for the sins. So let's start off with the introduction. One, it was spiritually, morally, and ethically necessary for God to provide a means of salvation for sinful mankind. Two, Jesus conquered death for all who believed in Him when He was resurrected from the grave. Three, we have the promise from Him and from Scripture that at our passing, we too will rise from the grave at that time. Four, no Christian should ever fear death or dying, because the promise we have from God is that when we die, we move toward Him in heaven for all eternity. And five, whenever the unbeliever does not have this promise, instead, they have only judgment, condemnation, eternal damnation to look toward forever. Those without Christ are without hope and without eternal life. All right, now, before we go into chapter 3, I want to go through summary of chapter 2. Just go through some things that we looked at chapter 2. One, God's supreme purpose took Jesus from being inferior to angels to becoming superior to all creation. One thing that we learned. Two, God's purpose was motivated by His love for the human race, making it possible for redemption for all who would believe in His Son. Three, as believers, we have a great future to look toward, to which we make possible for the cross work of Christ. And four, one day Jesus will return and set up His kingdom, which He will rule with love and justice. Now, we talk about Him being king, but He's not kingdom at this point. He's not the kingdom, but He's going to return home to be. And finally, five, when His earthly kingdom ends, believers will have a new and eternal earth to enjoy, free from sin and evil forever. Now, we're going to look at six benefits given to believers by the supreme purpose of God. So here they are. One, elevates believers as soon of glory, as sons of glory. Elevate believers as sons of glory. Chapter 2, verse 10. Two, makes believers holy. sanctified. Chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 3, or verse 2 makes believers holy, sanctified. Chapter 2, verse 11. Now 3 makes believers brothers to Christ. Chapter 2, verse 12. 14 makes us members of God's family. Chapter 2, verse 13 makes us members of God's family. 5 delivers us from the power of Satan. That is blessing. Delivers us from the power of Satan. Chapter 2, verse 14. 6 removes our fear of dying. Removes our fear of dying. Chapter 2, verse 15. Now, most people, young, different ages, don't even think about it. But when you do reach a point, when you're close to going home, you don't want to go into fear. And then 7, given help to saints of Abraham. Given help to saints of Abraham, chapter 2, verse 16. Of course, all believers are of Abraham. 8, our sins are propitiated. Our sins are propitiated, chapter 2, verse 17. And 9, he has come to be our help. He, Jesus Christ, has come to be our help, chapter 2, verse 18. So we've gone through this entire chapter from chapter 2, verse 10, all the way through. Seeing one elevates believers as sons of glory, makes believers holy or sanctified. 3, makes believers brothers to Christ. 4, makes us members of God's family. 5, delivers us from the power of Satan. 6, removes our fear of dying. 7, gives us help to saints of Abraham. Chapter 2, verse 16. 8, our sins are propitiated. And finally, 19, he has come to be our help. Chapter 2, verse 18. Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Now, today we begin to learn about Jesus, not as our Savior. We know enough and covered enough, a great deal to deal with His Savior. Now, not as our friend, but we're going to come to Jesus Christ as our High Priest. As our High Priest. Chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Things that we are to learn from verse 1. Verse 1 only. We are holy. Think about that. 2, we are brethren. 3, we are partakers. Partakers. 4, what is our heavenly calling? Do you know your heavenly calling? 5, we are to consider Jesus as the apostle, as the high priest. Okay, chapter 1 proclaims that Jesus, as God, took on being humanity to himself and there paid for the sins of the world, and then rose from the dead and went to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father to rule the world. Chapter 2, Jesus was member of the human race after paid for sins, provided salvation, then rendered powerless Satan, then served as believers' high priest. He served as our high priest, then became humanity. Now, chapter 3, our current chapter. Jesus, as faithful high priest to help believers. Jesus, as faithful high priest to help believers. Okay, 1, Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of spiritual death. We are born into Satan's kingdom because we are born spiritually dead with sin natures. Point 2. Jesus was born spiritually alive in freedom. We were born spiritually dead. Jesus Christ was born spiritually alive. He was born without a sin nature. The significance of the virgin birth cannot be overemphasized. The virgin birth makes it possible for Jesus Christ to come into the world without being a member of Satan's kingdom, which every one of us are born into. If you were born into Satan's slave market, you can't get yourself or anyone else out, and that includes every one of us. Christ had to be born a free man in order to purchase the freedom of slaves. That's mankind. We are born into slavery. Now, point 3. Christ lived free from the slave market of sin by resisting temptation to sin. Christ lived free from the slave market of sin by resisting temptation to sin. 4. Therefore, he went to the cross where he satisfied God the Father, got himself appointed high priest, and purchased our freedom from Satan's kingdom. 5. Christ, as our high priest, is able to help those being tempted by testing and failing and then coming back. In other words, Christ is the only one who can help us. The only one who can help us. Chapter 2, verse 18. Now, chapter 3. So let's open your Bibles to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He, Jesus, was faithful to him, God, who appointed him as Moses also was in all his house. For he, Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Verse 5, now Moses was faithful to all God's house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. Now look at verse 6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his God's house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to our confidence and the boast of our hope until the end. Now, chapter 3, verse 1, starts off with the word, therefore. For that reason. It's very important. For that reason. That is, for all that has been considered of Jesus in chapters 1 and 2, there, because Christ is the only one able to help those being tested. Therefore, holy brethren, that's what you are. Holy means set apart to God. No matter how old, how young, you are set apart to God. Now, God sees every believer as set apart. God sees every one of them as set apart to himself. Brethren means we are members of the family of God. Just stop and think about that. We are members of the family of God. We are all born into the family of God. We are all in the same family. Holy means to be in union with Christ. This is what makes you holy. The only reason any of you are holy is because you have believed in Jesus Christ. We are not holy because of anything we do. Now the next word is partakers. Very important. Partakers means partners, associates, those joined together for or by a specific purpose. You are in partnership with Christ as the best or worst believer who ever lived. So it doesn't matter. You're the worst or the best believer, you are partakers with Christ. The plural puts us all in the same situation. So it's in the plural, partakers, plural, every one of us. Okay, some points. One, believing or being partakers emphasizes the fact that every believer is in full-time Christian service. Every believer is a partner, and as a partner is in full-time Christian service. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you were drafted into full-time Christian service. It is one thing to be drafted into a branch of the service. It is something else to be effective in that branch. Now, Phil is in the Marines. Army. I thought you were in the Marines. Well, very good.
Airborne Ranger.
All right, very good. I was a Ranger. Now, you were of Air Force. Yeah. Okay. You could be drafted into the Navy and spend your time in the brig. How about that? But you're still in the Navy. That's the point. You could go all the way to Admiral. It is possible for two people to be drafted from the same town at the same time, and both for 25 years later, and one to be a vice admiral and the other to be in the brig. But all but are both in the Navy. Not all of us are in full time. All of us are in full time Christian service, whether you are in sin or a mature believer or growing, being a partaker or not. But everyone of us is a believer, and being purpose in our lives, giving definition to our life, and waste your life away, or have it be benefited for Christ. Okay, that's point one. Point two, being a service to the Lord, or being a religious person, in religion, man works to gain approbation of God. He is stimulated by satanic glory. That is what Satan wants to do. Now, point three, in Christianity, God works to bless man. God works, not man. Not for blessing before man, but blessing from God. Point four, religion is human good, while Christianity is divine good. Religion is human good, while Christianity is divine good. And finally, five, religion is legalism, while Christianity is grace. Now, this Greek word, partaker, is used five times in Hebrews. Five times in the book of Hebrews. One time for Jesus Christ, and four times of believers. Chapter 1, verse 9, if you want to look at it. Chapter 1, verse 9, it's of Jesus Christ as a partaker of the oil of gladness above all others. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Believers partake of heavenly calling. This is opposed to Israel by earthly calling. And let me repeat that. Secondly, it is used of believers, heavenly calling. This is imposed to Israel, earthly calling. Chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, 14. Believers who have permanently become partakers of Christ. Permanently partakers of Jesus Christ. 6:4, chapter 6, verse 4. We are partakers of Christ. Now, we are partakers of the Holy Spirit. Very important. Now, chapter 12, verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. Believers are partakers of God's holiness. God's holiness. So, first of all, believers partakers of the heavenly calling. Secondly, believers who are permanently become partakers of Christ. Partakers of Christ and partakers of the Holy Spirit, believers are partakers of God's holiness. Just think about it. Think tonight about it in bed. You are a partaker of the heavenly calling. You are a partaker of Jesus Christ. You are a partaker of the Holy Spirit. You are a partaker of God's holiness. That's just amazing. It doesn't matter what you're doing or not doing, what you're making or not making in the world. Here's what you are. Okay, now let's go to verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Of a heavenly calling. Heavenly is in respect to source of our blessing. Calling is a description of our relationship with God. We are related to God through election. The Greek word translated calling also means vocation. Vocation. The Hebrew uses this word is God's heavenly calling, is the invitation to partake in the community of Christ and to do so by continuing in courage and hope, as in Hebrews 3:1. Again, the emphasis is that every believer is in full-time Christian service. Now, the first verb in chapter 3, consider. Here's your verb. Consider Jesus. Okay. Here you are in bed, or alone, room, in a lonely room. Consider Jesus. This Greek word means to understand something. Perceived about God. Perceived about Jesus Christ. This means to become aware of Jesus Christ, to realize Jesus Christ, or to understand Jesus Christ. What does this mean? It means for you to consider in your mind about the place Jesus is in your life. It means for you to consider in your mind about the place Jesus is in your life. It means to think seriously. Take thoroughly into account of your life. The second place this verb is used is a well-known verse. And chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let's consider it. Let's think about it. Think about it. Considering one another, stimulating one another in love and good deeds toward one another. We are commanded to consider Jesus as the apostle and high priest. Consider Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1. Consider Jesus the apostle. Question. Do you consider or think of Jesus as the apostle? I imagine not very many have done it. Do you consider him as an apostle? The apostle. First, what is an apostle? An apostle is sent one on a mission. God is the one who chose Jesus as an apostle. Now, first thing to notice is the presence of the definite article, the apostle. Consider Jesus the apostle, the sent one. That's how we're to think. He is totally unique. He is unique in every way. He is the unique apostle. He is the unique high priest. This is not his title. This is his appointment. This is not his title. It's appointment. At being sent for by God for a specific purpose. He was sent or commissioned by God himself. His words, his works, words and works, were those of God the Father. Those are some 5 requirements to be an apostle. But Jesus Christ is completely unique in being sent by God the Father. He performed different miracles as an apostle. He was unique in all his spoke and all that he spoke, because what he spoke was of God. How often do you consider Jesus as the apostle? How often? Consider Jesus the apostle and high priest. When's the last time you thought of Jesus as the high priest? Not as Savior, not as your friend, but as the high priest. This was very important to the Jews. It should be important to you. It refers to the highest in rank and authority and responsibility of all the priests. That's what you are, a priest. He is the high priest. He is our high priest. He is the highest authority and responsibility of all the priests in the church age. The first high priest was Aaron of the Levites' priesthood. But the first person actually anointed as high priest was Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the first one anointed as high priest, who was both king, by the way, and not just a priest, but high priest. Quite responsible, right, and impressive about Melchizedek. He was high priest and king. Jesus Christ, by the way, was both king and high priest. This would be a long study of the Hebrew priesthood. He was priest, which means he was to draw near to God. That's what the priest does. He was to draw near to God. The high priest was the most important priest in the thinking in Jewish, and was appointed as high priest. Jesus Christ was appointed high priest by God the Father. Here it is title of Jesus. Jesus refers to the humanity of Christ. How often do you consider Jesus as the high priest? I know that some of you often think of Jesus as a king, but what about as an apostle and as the high priest? Now, let's get some ideas about a high priest. Here's some things about a high priest. I'm sorry that today's study just filled with points. One, two, one, two, one, 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 one. And I don't know. I've done this all my life, so I do it. Others don't need to do it. One, high priest. One, distinguished from the other priest by the clothes he wore by the priest, Jewish priesthood. He is distinguished as the high priest by the clothes he wore. Two, the office was originated with Aaron and was inherited by Aaron, the brother of Moses. Three, only those of the tribe of the Levites could become priests. Only those who are Levites could become priests. Four, the high priest had to be of exemplary character and conduct. Five, it's very interesting right now, we're watching, I think sort of an offbeat type of series. It's, what's the name of it? Yeah. Yeah, that's where he was, as a preacher, a priest, and he was bad news. He fell one time to a woman in a dance hall, and he loves to drink. He loves to drink all the time, and Phil's had to. But nevertheless, let's go to four. The high priest had to be exemplary character and conduct. Five, his physical appearance had to be without blemish. Without blemish. Mark blemished his finger so that he could not be one. Six, he could marry, but only another believer, and she had to be a virgin. Seven, his clothing symbolized the different aspects of his ministry. His clothing symbolized different aspects of his ministry. Eight, the high priest was Israel's advocate before God and God's spokesmanship to them. He was an advocate before God's before God, and then God's spokesman to them. Nine, he was the mouthpiece of God and would communicate God's will to Israel. Ten, he was the mediator making atonement for Israel for their gifts would, as so their gifts would be accepted. 11. The high priest was over all the other priests and was responsible to make sure they performed their duties. 12. In most important role was the Day of Pentecost, Day of Atonement. The most important day of his work was the Day of Atonement. 13. On this day, once a year, he would enter the Holy of Holies behind the veil. 14. He could carry a bowl, he would carry a bowl of blood of the sacrifice, unblemished lamb, and pour it on the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Quite messy. 15. The mercy seat was representative of the throne of God. 16. The covering atonement with blood would symbolically hide of the sins of the people and satisfy the justice which demands punishment, and the righteousness, the perfect standard of God. And finally, 17, it is this service by the high priest that the ministry of Jesus Christ as high priest compared. Study Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 28. We'll be studying all of that. Consider, right now let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews, all right, so consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. All right, Jesus as our high priest. Let's look at some things. One, Jesus became a man, so as high priest, he could represent us to God. Hebrews chapter 2, 11 through 14. Jesus became a man, so as high priest, he could represent us to God. Two, he is sympathetic with our weaknesses. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Jesus Christ is sympathetic. He cares for our weaknesses. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Excuse me just a moment. Three, he did not assume the office of high priest for glory. Hebrews 5:5. He did not assume the office of high priest for glory. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Four, but he was called by God to the office, but not through the lineage of Aaron, but as through the lineage of Melchizedek, chapter 5, verse 10. Five, he had no need to offer sacrifices for his own sins, unlike the Old Testament high priest, because he was without sin. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 27 and 28. Six, the Old Testament high priest offered animal blood that could never take away sins, only cover them. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, the Old Testament high priest would offer animal blood that could never take away the sins. And now 7, but Jesus offered his blood, his spiritual life, once and for all. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Jesus offered his spiritual death. Now, we come to chapter 2 through 10. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. Let's take a look. 3, 2. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his household. Another way to translate this, as being faithful to the one who appointed him, they're talking about Jesus Christ, as being faithful to the one who appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his household. So, let's note a few things. One, Jesus Christ keeps on being faithful. Jesus keeps on being faithful. Two, Moses was a temporary. Moses was temporary. 3, Moses' ministry was limited to the nation of Israel, while Jesus Christ's ministry was for eternity and for all of the human race. Jesus being truthworthy, dependable, faithful to the maximum. There never was a time when Jesus was unfaithful to God or to you. Put that in your notes. There never was a time when Jesus was unfaithful to you. And there never will be such a time when he is unfaithful to God or to himself or to you. He is unfaithful to God, but he is faithful to you throughout your entire life. Be sure that you will be unfaithful to him, but Jesus Christ is always faithful to you and often waits to give you blessings. Also, you must always know that Jesus Christ loves you with a perfect love. I am so sorry so many believers talk about it, how much they love Jesus, but he does not, in fact, love him, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. The greatest temptation by Jesus Christ came just before the cross. We started there. This is where we'll end. When he said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." What did he mean by cup? There was a cup he had to drink the next day. In that cup were all the sins of the world from the beginning of time to the end of time. And all of those sins were all carried out to Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. So he said, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But Jesus said that he was saying it was perfect God. He was saying it was perfect God and impeccable. For Jesus Christ as the God-man is absolutely unique. He is our Savior. He was the only person in all of human history who also was able to do this for us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any question about chapter 2 or in verse 1 of chapter 3? Okay? Heavenly Father, it is so much fun to study and learn about Jesus Christ. As pastor, I don't even know when I've dealt with the people to think about Jesus as high priest, with Jesus as an apostle, as the apostle. There is so much for us to learn about Jesus Christ in Hebrews. We thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.